Hello, Baker McKenzie welcomes you to Connect on Tech, a global podcast series covering legal developments on data, technology, privacy, and security that impact your business. Here's your host, Brian Hengisbaugh, Global Chair of Privacy and Security.
Okay, great. Welcome back to Connect on Tech. I'm Brian Hengisbaugh, Global Chair of Privacy at Baker McKenzie. So glad to be joined today by Ben Slynn, a senior associate out of our London office. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks very much for having me. Great to be with you today.
So our topic for today is 2023 trends and predictions. And Ben, you've driven a great process to solicit input from our global Baker McKenzie privacy and security team on questions about, you know, trends and predictions for 2023. What's coming up? What are we seeing? And I thought it would make sense to just start with the closest at home piece, which is the UK and Brexit, and what are we seeing for data protection, and then expanding out to the EU and then non-EU. But let's start right there with the UK. You know, what are we seeing with the data protection regime in the UK post Brexit, and what's ahead?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. So we're seeing potential change in the UK around the data protection regime here. So obviously post Brexit, the UK incorporated the GDPR into national law. So our current data protection regime is very similar to what we're used to in the EU under the GDPR, but that could potentially change. The UK government has been consulting on potential reforms and actually published a draft bill last year, the Data Protection and Digital Information Bill. And that hasn't progressed any further through Parliament yet, but the idea and sort of the purpose of that is to in part reduce compliance burdens on organizations by removing or replacing certain obligations, particularly around record keeping, such as records of processing requirements or data protection impact assessments. But it's not a wholesale replacement of the UK GDPR, more of an incremental shift away from what the UK government considers to be box ticking exercises or unnecessary administrative burdens. And then that's proposals, and that hasn't moved forward yet, but potentially we may see that during the course of this year as that bill maybe moves through Parliament and is finalised. We have seen some developments around data transfers, and the UK government really wants to expand the list of jurisdictions where it's permissible to transfer personal data on the basis of adequacy regulations, which the UK government can issue post-Brexit under the UK GDPR. And the government has a list of priority countries, which include Australia, Colombia, the Dubai International Financial Center, Singapore, the US, as well as South Korea. And interestingly, at the end of last year, new adequacy regulations came into force for the UK for South Korea. Now, although there was already a European Commission adequacy decision that was issued in 2021, that didn't apply in the UK automatically because that happened after the Brexit transition period ended. But the key takeaway here is that the UK's adequacy regulations are slightly broader than the European Commission's regulations, and also cover credit information that's processed by controllers, which is subject to oversight by the Financial Services Commission. And that's the first example of the UK issuing one of these adequacy regulations for a priority jurisdiction. A longer term, the UK would like to issue more, including jurisdictions such as India, Brazil, Indonesia, and Kenya as well. And finally, for the UK, we also have differences where we think about data transfer mechanisms. So we have the UK addendum to the EU standard contractual clauses, which now can be used, as well as the UK international data transfer agreement. And for existing agreements that use the old SCCs, organizations have until the 21st of March 2024 to replace, have until the 21st of March 2024 to replace those with either the UK addendum or the EU static contractual clause to the EU static contractual clauses or the international data transfer agreement.
Do you think the UK will be positioning itself as sort of a safe place to send data from the EU to the UK, and then a somewhat easier onward transfer to the US or other jurisdictions outside of Europe? Do you think that might be something that the UK is essentially positioning for? Or do you think, in contrast, that the UK might really use almost exactly the same standards that the EU is using for outbound data transfer, such that, you know, any kind of, you know, data transfer framework with the US, et cetera, would need to be pretty much the same as what the EU has? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a difficult balance that the UK government is having to try and achieve here. One, they want to obviously maintain the UK's ongoing adequacy decision from the European Commission, but at the same time would like to facilitate transfers from the UK to other jurisdictions, US being one of those in particular. So potentially the list of jurisdictions where it's safe to transfer from the UK is going to be wider than the European Commission's list, although the European Commission and the EU more generally are going to be quite interested in that that issue, particularly in the context of the UK maintaining that adequacy decision. So it is a difficult balance, but I think they're trying to have both of those objectives at the same time.
Yep, absolutely. So maybe then turn next to what are we seeing from the EU perspective? You know, what trends or issues are we seeing from the EU perspective?
Yeah, so as we were just talking about data transfers, that certainly continues to be a significant focus in the EU following the Schrems II decision as well a few years ago. We have the European Commission recently announcing the draft adequacy decision for the EU-US data privacy framework in December, which follows the political agreement that was reached between the EU and the US earlier last year, as well as the executive order that was published in October. And the expectation is that adequacy decision should be in place by around July this year. And data protection authorities in the EU are continuing to issue decisions to about transfers to the US in light of complaints that they're receiving. So Austria, France, and Italy being examples of those. We've also seen focus on enforcement when it comes to cookies compliance, and the European Data Protection Board have recently published a draft report on its work and in the context of cookies and the task force that it established in response to those complaints, and as well data protection authorities such as France being active in this area of enforcement. And a final sort of observation around enforcement action, we're seeing emerging issues such as transparency and legal basis for processing really being a focus of enforcement action, and particularly online behavioral advertising as well. And finally, children's personal data, it continues to be a hot topic, not just in the EU, but also in the UK with the age-appropriate design code. We're starting to see that also becoming a focus in jurisdictions like the US and California.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that makes really good sense. Maybe to pick up for just a second on the data privacy framework, you mentioned July 2023. That sounds right to me. Do you think, are we pretty bullish that the adequacy decision will actually be adopted and, you know, they'll get the majority of member states, you know, approving it, et cetera? I have a feeling that the parliament won't like it, but the parliament hasn't liked anything transatlantic for privacy for a long time, but they're just a non-binding opinion. What's your sense on the optimism that adequacy decision will go through?
Yeah, I'm optimistic that it will eventually come through. I'm sure there will be some criticisms that are received along the way as part of the scrutiny of that, but hopeful that it will result in a valid adequacy decision as the outcome. But as with all data transfers, as you know, that have been mechanisms that have been in place since the original Schrems decision, all of this is now potentially open to challenge. So they'll be scrutinizing it in a lot of detail over the coming months.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what's your sense about the likelihood of challenge of the data privacy framework once it is adopted, and any sense of your prognostication on whether it'll actually ever be struck down again, much like its predecessors have, or might we have a chance this one survives?
Yeah, I think the chances of it being challenged by folks are very high. I think given what we've seen with the previous predecessors to this new framework, I think certainly some of the measures that have been put in place give this a more robust standing and a more robust foundation. Whether it will hold up ultimately, that remains to be seen. But I certainly feel that we're in a good position.
Yeah, and maybe that helps bridge into the last layer that we have for discussion, which is the non-EU side. And what I might just comment, being a US attorney, I think that the reasons why I'm perhaps more optimistic that the data privacy framework will survive the inevitable judicial scrutiny is in part because of the substantive protections that are now layered in that weren't there before, but also because I think the world is getting a little bit tighter. We have, you know, so much going on geopolitically, and I think there are real strong incentives for the US and North America to be closely integrated with Europe that I think that may actually help prevail. And then I'm going to get your thoughts in just a second on the non-EU issues, but I'll just say from a US perspective, you know, we certainly are going to see a ton more activity on the state level in terms of privacy regulation. Expect, you know, further FTC enforcement activity, particularly around, you know, behavioral advertising, dark patterns, children's issues, et cetera. And of course, then on the cyber side, we're even seeing more of the Securities and Exchange Commission coming in, non-privacy, but public company issues. in terms of cybersecurity event reporting. So lots of activity. I'll also just mention briefly, I think China is going to continue to be a real focus of activity as they continue to implement their cybersecurity law, their personal information protection law, and their security law and all the regulations and focused around outbound transfer. I think those issues are going to get more difficult. But then take a minute here, Ben, and just kind of give us the rest of the non-EU world. What do you see happening?
Thanks, Brian. So overall, we're seeing a lot of activity, particularly outside of the EU, with either new or revised data protection laws or legislation. And obviously, organizations are going to need to keep an eye and monitor all of these developments and update their practices as these requirements change on a global basis. So we don't have time to go through all of them, but just to pick a few examples, jurisdictions like Australia implemented changes in December last year. There were also changes in Japan in April last year. There's potential discussions around changes in Taiwan, that as well as a bit more further progress in Vietnam around amendments to their data protection regime. We've got proposals in India. There's also developments in the Middle East, in Qatar, UAE, and Saudi Arabia as well. Then moving across, we've got the legislature in Turkey looking to amend data protection laws to more closely align with the EU GDPR, and also developments as well in Canada and Argentina. So looking at a global basis, all around the world, we're seeing impetus in terms of updating or modernizing data protection laws in many jurisdictions, in some cases mirroring or reflecting requirements under the GDPR. For all of those jurisdictions, we've got more details in our Data Protection Day article if you'd like to read more about those.
Perfect. Yes. So we'll have the Data Protection Day article up on connectontech.com, as well as this podcast and other great content. Ben Slin, data protection and privacy extraordinaire out of London, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much, Brian. Happy Data Protection Day.
Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for our next podcast when we connect on tech. For more information on data and technology, subscribe to our blog at connectontech.com or visit our website at bakermckenzie.com.